This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm off, I'm out.
Featuring the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning welcome.
You maintain your system.
Jacobs, no shot.
Baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby. Kevin Burkhardt on a call, Fox Sports, and Josh Jacobs runs for 3 touchdowns and over 100 yards, becoming the first Packer to do so since Dorsey Levins. And the Niners give up a 100-yard rusher for the first time in 55 regular season games. And they were just all-time soft yesterday. Defensively, offensively, special teams, coaching. It was just an embarrassing, embarrassing day. With that said, the silver lining is there came out in the first place in the NFC
West. I'm not allowing that today. No.
Hold on. Let me speak. The facts are the facts. There came out in first place in the NFC West, but this doesn't look like a division title winning team at all. It just doesn't. They don't have enough bodies. They get dominated in the trenches. First downs go 22-11 Green Bay's way. They hold the ball for nearly 37 minutes of action. They set the tone on the opening drive, killing up 7 minutes to 25 seconds off the clock. And where do we go from here? But look, Brendan Allen is who he is. Shaska, as I say, good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. Please drive safely in this rain. It is nasty out there. The Niners get just obliterated 38-10. And where do you go from here? Well, you go to Buffalo, where you got to take on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills coming off a bye week on Sunday Night Football. Doesn't look pretty, right? McCaffrey doesn't look pretty. Fred Warner, when's he going to make a play again? Deebo Samuel, when's he going to make a play again? This is bad. This is all-time bad under Kyle Shanahan here. So we're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk all about it. What went wrong? Was the game lost before the game started, Shasky? Because it felt like the game was maybe lost Friday night when we all found out that Brendan Allen would get the start for the first time in 3 years. Then he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I didn't think they had a shot going in, Shasky.
I'm not even mad at Brendan Allen. I mean, I know he made some horrific fumbles in the pocket and just a couple of, whoa, what are you doing throws? But he also made a bunch of nice throws. Like, if we're being fair on this one, I didn't think Brandon Allen won or lost them this game. It's just your point about the math, and I'm not trying to jump down your road. You're factually correct regarding, like, well, they're only a game out. Technically, it's more like 2 games because they don't have any tiebreakers, and I understand that. My eyeballs are telling me, like, this team has just hit the wall. That's what my eyeballs are telling me.
I'm not trying to sell anybody.
No, I didn't say that.
I'm not trying to sell anybody on this being a NFC West title-winning team. But the division is not good.
No doubt.
And the fact is that the Niners have regressed back to the mean with the rest of the Rams and the Cardinals. Because the Cardinals, Seahawks, and Rams, they're not good football teams.
No.
They're not. They're average football teams. But the Niners are an average football team this season. And they just there's just too much to overcome. It just feels like it's one of those years where it's going to be too much to overcome, whether it's the training camp holdouts, whether it's CMC, whether it's coaching. There's a plethora of things we're going to get into today. But one guy, I'm going to let you go here, Shasky. One guy I want to touch on. Well, actually, you touch on something first, because there's somebody I want to call out. And I want to talk about leadership, being a captain, being a guy who the team can look up to, say, okay, when the chips are down, we can count on this guy to make a play. When things don't go right, okay, this guy's going to stand up in front of the team and talk and explain himself. Like, I see Fred Warner every single week. Talk to the podium. He goes, talks to the media, talks to the fan base. Win or lose. George Kittle, same thing. Kyle Shanahan, same thing. Chris McCaffrey. Even Nick Bosa gets his ass up there at the podium and speaks. Now, he may not give you the answer you want, but he speaks. For Deebo Samuel to not speak to the media after that game yesterday, and after the two-game stretch he's had, after chopping Tabor Pepper in the neck, and everybody's like, oh, he's a long snapper, he deserved it, Team Deebo, blah, 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 blah. But he did that, and it got caught on film. And he's got a C on his chest as a captain of the football team. And as a leader, you don't like to see those things. But, you know, everybody washed it away, they won the game against Tampa. Shanahan said, hey, Deebo didn't like what he said, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes out there the last 2 weeks, and he puts that on tape. He puts that on tape of what he did yesterday in Green Bay. A couple drop passes, one catch. I mean, it was awful. And then you don't speak to the media. There's six games left in the season. It could be the final six games of Deebo Samuel's tenure with the San Francisco 49ers. And it's not ending well. It feels a sort of like Klay Thompson last season when he goes 0-10 in a play-in game and everybody's all over Klay. But at least Klay, from the All-Star break on, he produced and showed up. Whether you like it or not, he showed up. Deebo Samuel, the lack of burst, the lack of route running, the lack of accountability, clapping back at T.O., worrying about Twitter and all that stuff. Yesterday was very disappointing to see, number one, Deebo Samuel put in that performance on the day they needed him, on the day they looked for him to make an hit play and to help out this third string, second string, whatever quarterback he is, Brandon Allen. I walked away from that game yesterday highly disappointed in Deebo Samuel.
So you're just mad that he didn't talk to the media? I'm trying to, like, because I'm just furious in general.
No,
the way this season has gone, I've been dangled in trade rumors, you know, for the last basically year and a half. You know, I did rework some of my money to try to make things work, and I have a big time return to start the second half. And it's called back again by a special teams penalty. They had three consecutive special teams penalties, right? So, look, I'm not going to defend what I call it. There's a level of cowardice not talking to the media.
It's not what I'm mad at. After all that said, it's not about being mad at him not talking about the media. But if you want to be a captain for this franchise and one of the leaders for this franchise, and on a day like that, 38-10, and you say, yeah, I declined to speak to reporters after what you put together on tape the last 2 weeks, well, after what happened in Tampa. We can't ignore what happened in Tampa Bay to Tabor Pepper. A lot of people didn't like what Deebo Samuel did to Tabor Pepper. And you do that, you win the game, whatever, bygones be bygones, you work it out before you get on the flight, that's fine. But the last 2 weeks with Deebo Samuel at the wide receiver position have been subpar. I mean, what did he have last week? Guess he had a 4 catches, 22 yards with Brock Purdy.
He hasn't done anything.
And so as a leader of this football team, and when you talk the talk that you talk, week in and week out, because we hear from Deebo, and I got no problem with Deebo Samuel. But boy, that's not a good look yesterday.
Well, of course.
It's not a good look. And you drop the passes, the game-changing interception. The Niners were in that game, whether we like it or not. They were in that football game. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not impressed with Green Bay.
Well, that's
Green Bay was not impressive whatsoever to me.
I mean, they got multiple stops. They had the ball in the fourth quarter. Brandon Allen's got the ball. God, I wish he was Josh Allen. And he just fumbles it in the middle of the pocket. And the defense got multiple stops. They also dropped a million turnovers. I don't know, B, like, the Deebo thing, for me, it's not the end of the world. I don't really care if he talks or not. Like, I don't want to hear him on his podcast. I don't think he's the greatest at a podium. But
leadership.
I understand the leadership factor.
It's leadership. It's accountability. And you put together what you put together on tape. When you talk that talk and you can't get separation from quarterbacks, and when people press man you can't get open, and then T.O. says something tongue-in-cheek, whether you believe that or not, and you get on Twitter and you're replying to everybody on Twitter, it's not cool.
Okay,
that's not cool.
That's true.
And so you're playing yourself. These last six games, it matters to the fans. It matters to the fans how it looks. How are you going to go out? Because this could be your last year as a 49er. And yeah, your name's been in trade rumors. Who hasn't? Everybody gets traded. Everybody's been in a rumor here and there. But just the fact that that went down after yesterday's game, that doesn't sit right with me. Okay. I'm not mad about it. I'm just telling you. Last 2 weeks have been suboptimal for Debo Samuel. And he's a playmaker.
Well, you know what doesn't sit well with me? The first half alone, 15 missed tackles, 12 by Josh Jacobs runs. You know what doesn't sit well with me? 4 pre-snap penalties by my offensive line. I think 3 by Pooney alone. You know what doesn't sit well with me? 3 consecutive special teams mistakes, penalties, negating huge chunk yards, one of which was the Debo 80-yard run. You know what also doesn't sit well with me? The ball going right through his hands and leading to an interception. Like, to me, it's about execution and details, and I understand there's a leadership component that I acknowledge, but like this morning, I'm looking at a team that needs a complete rebuild on the trenches. They're just getting dominated up front. Can't stop the run. I'm looking at an offense that looks really stale, and even then, they did kind of move the ball, yet you drafted a guy in the first round who can't sniff a target. And that's with Brandon Ayuk, who you paid $30 million out. Like, why are we investing first-round picks in guys I'm not going to target? I got a CMC issue where I don't know, is this just who he is now? Do you shut him down and pray to God that he gets his burst back? I have no idea. I saw reports he sat in a locker after addressing the media for 15 or 20 minutes straight and just sat down and was staring into the abyss.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, this season's been lost for him.
I mean,
and Jordan Mason in one run yesterday looked as impressive as CMC has in his return.
Mason and Garendo have fumbled like 4 times in the last 2 weeks. And yeah. I love both guys, but it feels like when they touch the ball, you know, as the coach, I understand being a little reluctant because they're literally, but again, Kyle, you have 2 guys who are running backs who aren't kick returners playing kick returner. And they're fumbling on kick returns, and then you're taking out on them in terms of their snaps at running back. Like, they got gashed up the middle so bad yesterday by Josh Jacobs in the first half. Jordan Love threw balls up in the air. Renardo Green dropped one. Mustafa dropped one. Tig Brown dropped one. This team has so many problems. And yeah, the leadership at the podium and everybody getting theirs in terms of money. You know, Trent looking, I'm going to call it what it is. I've thought this for a while. Trent Williams looks like a front runner. Anytime things are kind of against them or whatever, he kind of bows out or he takes kind of what I deem to be the cheap shot on his way out of a loss. And this team right now looks old, overpaid. They look like the season can't come to an end quick enough. Fred Warner hasn't made a play in what feels like a month. And I love the guy, and I feel like he's hobbled out there. D. Winters makes a play. He's sitting behind Devondre Campbell for weeks on end. What are we doing?
Let me ask you, though. It doesn't look good at all.
At all.
At all, right? Doesn't look good at all. This division doesn't look good at all.
I don't care about the division.
I know, but I do.
Form matters.
I do. But you know what? I was thinking about this.
Form matters.
I was thinking about this, and I think about to that night in Las Vegas when they lost the Super Bowl. And when that kid was like, you really think this is the worst Super Bowl loss? Really, I thought he was like going off about Miami and Super Bowl 54. And I was like, nah, I was depressed. And I remember the phone call I had to Anna, my fiance, that night in the hotel room eating Chinese food with my fingers because they forgot utensils in my Chinese food. I just thought, they're just never going to get it done. And it's just sad because the Super Bowl 54, when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, I go back to the clip of George Kittle saying, I will be back. I will be back. And I felt like they would be back. It felt like it was the beginning of a great run. Debo was a rookie. Bosa was a rookie. George Kittle was very young in his tenure with the 49ers. Fred Warner hadn't even entered his prime yet. Shanahan didn't have bags under his eyes. Things were rolling. But when I think about that loss in Las Vegas and the way it went down and the way the season just aligned perfectly for the 49ers, and they were number one in all these offensive categories, and you get all the breaks at home, you get a home field advantage, you come back from 24-7, and you lose that Super Bowl. And that feeling of walking out of there, it just felt like it was the end of this run with this core. Whereas Super Bowl 54, it felt like it was the beginning of things to come. And instead of winning Super Bowl 54 and getting off, you know, because winning that one means so much. Winning a one for Joe Montana against the Bengals back at the Pontiac Silverdome. It sparked a dynasty. What if they lose that game? You know, what if they're Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills lose it to the New York Giants in Tampa, Florida in Super Bowl 25, and then they lose four straight Super Bowls? Or what if Mahomes and company loses? You know what I'm saying? All these things that happen. It just felt like that Super Bowl in Las Vegas was the end of this run for this current core, and we're just in denial the first 3 months of the season.
There's not a question in my mind that that's the reality of where we're at, B. Like, Bonte, I was involved in this. We were crushing Steve Wilks. You know what this defense did yesterday? Literally couldn't stop the up-the-middle power run over and over and over again. And I watched, for the first time, I've watched crap Niner football over the years of my life, and I know you have too. Never in my 42 years of existence have I ever seen the 49ers get a 12-man on-the-field penalty in consecutive plays. That's Tom Sula, Chip Kelly, Dennis Erickson level, undisciplined BS, and it's unacceptable. I love Kyle. I've rooted Kyle on. I think Kyle's done a lot of great things. I'm not asking for his head this morning. I'm not doing any of that. The details with this organization, we're all worried about clicking on a podcast, cashing in at the bank, but no one's worried about lining up properly. No one's worried about executing before the snap, before the hike. Nobody's worried about finishing the play through. Like, make a freaking play. Could someone make a play? CMC, they get a huge chunk play. Oh, you're only down two touchdowns. It felt like that, to your point. They were in that game.
They were in the game.
They throw a little pass to CMC. Boom. It's one of his biggest plays since coming back. And he fumbles the ball. CMC, everybody's favorite player, fumbles the ball. And as I watch Saquon Barkley on Sunday Night Football look like the CMC from last year, I'm asking myself, is CMC ever going to get back to what he was? Like, I have no idea. What's going on with Bosa? Is he going to have a season-ending oblique injury? Is Trent just going to hang it up from here on out for the year? What do you do with Fred Warner?
Hold on,
what do you
do with CMC. Brock Purdy? Hold on. We'll go back to CMC for a second. When we talk about the end, CMC, maybe it was a microcosm of things to come. He fumbled in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and George Kittle was goofing around with Karlofkis instead of jumping on the ball.
But you know what, though? George Kittle has no idea. Don't blame him for CMC fumbling.
I'm just saying it's a microcosm of everything.
It's CMC fumbled. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knew he was going to fumble. He fumbled. That's not CMC. And he was a shell of himself, and he fumbled and lost the confidence of Kyle Shanahan in that Super Bowl, where Shanahan went away from him for a long period of time. So this team is not it right now. They're 5-6. They're a game out of first place in the NFC West. I'll continue to say that because those are the facts. But when you don't have Nick Bosa, Fred Warner's a shell of himself, Greenlaw hasn't hit the practice field, Charvarius Ward's going through a personal tragedy.
I mean, that's
you know,
it's sad.
Debo Samuel can't get off a press man. Ricky Pearsall's MIA. He can't give him a target. George Kittle's battling his ass off. Trent Williams doesn't suit up. You're playing Jaylon Moore. It's just a disaster right now. Oh, by the way, you don't have the quarterback. You don't have the quarterback in Brock Purdy. So I think, in a way, we kind of see how valuable Brock Purdy is to this offense. Not even close. Brandon Allen didn't have a shot. He didn't have a shot.
Well, look, Allen is not great. There's no one denies that. But, like, he does have a really good arm, and he does make some throws on the field, and you're sitting here going like, man, it was something up with Brock's arm, because the last month or so of the season, it doesn't feel like they've hit spots on the field that they did with Brandon Allen. I'm not saying Brandon Allen is better than Purdy. No one's saying that. Purdy has such better pocket feel and has instincts and anticipation. There was a fourth down play, fourth and two, early in the second half, and they went for it, and Purdy hits that pass to CMC. He anticipates the out route and the guy being on the hip of CMC. Brandon Allen's late to see it, late to throw it, throws it high. Boom, incomplete drive killer, right? So there's no doubt. But there is something to be said for a little bit of arm strength. So whatever's been going on with Purdy's arm, which hasn't been the same zip, and he hasn't thrown the ball past 20 yards in what feels like forever, like, we got to get Purdy right.
I don't know when he's going to be right. I don't know when he's going to be right. We'll pick it up on the other side. Shanahan, how are you feeling about Shanahan? All that stuff's on the table. I see the calls. Leland, Joe, JD. We're getting to everybody here. 888-957-9570. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. The guest are you, the Roasters, the fans. You guys are the guests today on the River Islands guest line. It isn't a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. What's coming up in a game brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. is it over, Niner fans? I'll just ask you. Is it over? Is it over for this current core? Or do you still look at the standings and, well, 38-10 loss, but you're still one game out of first place? Nobody wants to hear that, right? Those are the facts. I'll continue to say it. They're a game out of first place in NFC West. Sure, they need tiebreakers and all that stuff, but they play the Rams, they play the Cardinals. They're still going to run here, but how likely does it look like they're going to go on a run? Is it bleak? Are the chances bleak? 888-957-9570 is the number. Now that's coming up, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Expert technicians, check fluids, tire pressure wipers, lights, batteries, and much, much more. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com, BayAreaOilChange.com.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Niners get pounded 38-10, probably the worst loss Shanahan has suffered since 2018 when they lost to the Dallas Cowboys at home. Remember that? Ezekiel Elliott went crazy. Eric Reed was playing middle linebacker. That was a rough day for the 49ers at Levi's Stadium, but this was bad. 38-10, and Green Bay dominated time of possession. They dominated the run game. The Niners give up a 100-yard rusher for the first time in 55 regular season games. What do they have, 20 missed tackles, 15 in the first half? And this is, I can't believe how Fred Warner has gone from DPOY to not really having an impact at all.
He hasn't made a play in weeks, B.
Maybe it's on the defensive line. Maybe it's on the secondary. Maybe it's him trying to do too much. But he has not made an it play, for whatever reason, in weeks.
There's no doubt. You know, look, you asked a very specific question. What was it before the break?
What did I ask?
I asked a bunch of questions. Is this it
for this core?
So, well, I'll answer that. For some guys on this core, yes, it is it. But I just seen how the NFL works. You can go from worst to first in one year. Like, that happens all the time, right? They're going to have to. They have a very difficult uphill battle to retool this entire roster.
I don't think it's that daunting, to be honest with you.
No, I think there's some salary cap stuff that they're going to have to maneuver.
But I don't think it's as daunting as you're making it seem. Like,
well, no, they're not.
In this division,
they're not the Commanders.
There's nobody. Like, the Rams are going to be the Rams, but Stafford's getting older. Cooper Kupp's got some injury issues, and they look to trade Cooper Kupp, the L.A. Rams. The Cardinals have Kyler, Trey McBride. They got some players, no doubt. But I don't think retooling this roster, being a competitor in the NFC again, I don't think it's that daunting.
Okay.
I think they have an avenue to be right back on top next season, if not this season.
Well, fair enough. But, like, I look at Philadelphia and what they did in one offseason. They went from a team that was really good last year, hit a wall. We had questions across the board on Sirianni, who are the coordinators, you know, the run game, their defensive line, their secondary, their linebacker situation. And really, obviously, they had guys that were carryovers, right, in terms of the players on that defense. But Howie did a great job, the GM, to kind of retool that team, and getting Saquon Barkley was the perfect fit for them. And then everything's kind of flowed off that. Jalen looks better, healthier, they've got weapons, they're defense is making timely stops, and you look up and you're like, are they the second best team in the NFC? Feels like it. Sure looks like it. I don't think I would have said that heading into the year. Although you and I were kind of like, hey, don't rule out Philly.
They look good. They were going to be a contender again. But they were a contender last year.
I think that when I look at the Niners, like, yeah, to your point, it's not like they need 50 new guys.
Right.
That's not what they need. But they do need to retool the trenches dramatically. And then they have to look themselves in the mirror with the running back. And they have to go, like, who are you? Like, are you the guy that's going to be, you know, not explosive, and you're really only a factor in the passing game because you do still have great hands and you can run good routes. And I believe that explosion matters, but not necessarily for getting open. Keenan Allen's made a career, and the guy can't run a 40 of just getting open via savvy route running. But I need to know who he is next year. What's going on with the quarterback? What's going on with these offensive and defensive lines? Can you upgrade the linebacker spot? They do have talent in the secondary. They do have some weapons. But man, the trenches has it's done them in this year. The lack of defensive line pressure, the lack of being able to stop the run on that first line of defense, and then offensively, the pre-snap penalties are killing them. There are not a lot of running lanes.
Nah, not at all. Not at all. Let's open up the lines here. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll go to our Warriors focus, future focus, going into the break. Going into the break. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Leland, who's been on hold the longest here. Leland in the 916. What's up, Leland? Leland, you there? All right, let's go to Joe and Sack. Joe, what's happening?
Morning, guys.
Morning, Joe.
Just got a comment from Keyshawn Nixon, the cornerback from the Packers yesterday after the game. He's quoted, "It's the NFL. It's not an excuse. We didn't have our quarterback. We won three games. So we don't want to hear that. We came to play. They should have came to play. We didn't come to play yesterday. In any aspect, every season that we have a down season, we blame injuries. Bosa, Ward, Hargrave, Mitch Wishnowski, Greenlaw, IU, Kofunga, Elijah Mitchell, Drake Jackson. I understand we're hurt, but every off year we have the same problem. I don't see how you run. Does Nick Sorensen get a pass this year? I mean, do we need to get, can we get Robert Saleh back here? Or is he going to be over there in Green Bay, you know, pitching against us? I mean, I don't know what to do anymore. It's been a rough game. It's been a rough season, but we are one game out.
Listen, I'm going to drive people crazy with that because those are the facts. They are one game out. But, you know, when you think about the injuries or whatnot, this team wasn't playing well when those guys were playing.
No.
They weren't playing well when Bosa was in the lineup. They weren't playing well when Trent Williams was in the lineup. They weren't playing well with Ayuk.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In the lineup. So all these guys that are injured, was it like they were 8-2? They've been a 500 team all season long.
And I would push back on, like, guys weren't trying. I don't think that's fair. When you have a bunch of guys that aren't good playing, you weren't executing. Like, you're telling me George Kittle wasn't trying hard?
Yeah,
you're
telling
me Juwan Jennings wasn't trying hard? CMC looks like he's trying. I think CMC dramatically cares about winning and losing, right? Like, I really do. I don't
think effort was a problem because in that third quarter, they were in that football
game. That's what I'm saying.
They were in that football game.
Even in the fourth quarter, they had the ball with the chance to, like, make it a one-score game.
Brandon Aubrey throws a pass to Deebo Samuel, goes right through his hands, they pick it off.
He's got to make that play.
And the Packers, what they do is they convert the three turnovers into points.
Yes.
They force three turnovers, they score 21 points off the turnovers.
Jair Brown got hit in the numbers on an interception and dropped it. Yep. Renardo Green dropped an interception. You know, like, it just...
Somebody's got to make a play.
Exactly.
Somebody's got to make a play.
Nobody made
a play yesterday. Let's go to...
Leonard Floyd finally made a play.
Yeah, he made a couple plays yesterday.
He made two. Was it Gross Matos as well? Like, they made a couple of plays. But again, your D-line needs to be completely reworked. It's inarguable. They need to have better impact in the trenches. They're losing games in the trenches.
You know, it's funny. I saw a reporter tweet out that Leonard Floyd's on track to get 10 sacks again.
It's the most hollow 10 sacks.
He's tracking to get 10 sacks, and I thought the same thing. I said, boy, very impactful 6.5 sacks he's had so far this season.
It's like the Brandon Bell 20 home runs that all came when we were down 9-1 in the eighth inning.
I'm telling you, you always find a beat writer who will wave the pom-poms for the team. Let's go to JD in San Francisco. JD, what's happening?
What's up, JD?
What's up, fellas? Hey, man, I'm with Shasky this morning, man. I think it's just the eye test, right? If you watch this team, the eye test tells you they just don't have it. to your point, like, you watched Philadelphia last night. You watched Detroit. Like, you watched the teams. Regardless of what stats says, you can see who's good and who's not, right? Like, you watch the explosive plays. I'm watching Philly last night. You see A.J. Brown. Dude just looks explosive. Yep. Like, they just can't yep. stop. And you watch Saquon. Saquon just, he has that extra gear that he just takes off, but he has explosive plays. We don't have that, right? Like, even Philly's defense, you watch the Kobe Dean and those dudes last night. They're physical. I mean, they're talking about on the broadcast, they're hitting you in the mouth like we used to. Is we used to intimidate teams and physically impose our will. We're not doing that anymore. It's like we've gotten to the point now where teams know they can run it on us now. We don't scare anybody on offense anymore like we used to. With running game, they used to be terrified of our running game. We used to just run it down teams. Now we don't have that anymore. So to your point, I think we need to revamp this roster, not to the point that complete overhaul, but there needs to be some explosiveness and some tenacity.
Some tweaks.
A retooling.
That's some tweaks. You don't need wholesale changes. You got some things built in. Dominic Pooney, somebody you could build around. I still believe in Banks at left guard. He's a free agent, but I believe in him. I would like to bring him back on the cheap and keep him in the Niner uniform. I don't think he's that bad. But maybe you move Pooney to right guard or left guard and put Banks at right guard. Who knows? But you have some assets here. You have some assets, but you definitely need some explosiveness. Explosiveness and athleticism. They're desperate for it because Philadelphia does have that. Before we get your thoughts, Shasky, it's time for a little Warriors future focus.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future.
I have to tell you about the future!
Warriors Future Focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, Trace Jackson Davis grabbing 8 rebounds against the Spurs. What happened to the Warriors Saturday night in San Antonio? What an atrocious fourth quarter. Blowing that lead there. Oh, my gosh. Luckily, we're not going to talk about that too much today. But he did have 12 points to go with 8 rebounds, including his dunk early in the second half.
Here's Jackson Davis running the floor right down the lane. Gets a dunk. The Spurs were lackadaisical on defense. And Jackson Davis took advantage, 57-45.
All right, Warriors, they blow that one in San Antonio. But if you win tonight against Brooklyn, a team that's going to shoot a lot of threes, you go 3-1 in this 4-game stretch. Warriors at 12-4, score 13 points in the fourth quarter, get out, score 33-13.
The only thing more disappointing on Saturday night than the Warriors be was Colorado getting blown out by Kansas.
Yeah, it was. They got the ball, ran up. Kansas ran for like 300 yards on them. 300 yards. Big 12, better than y'all thought, huh? Look at Kansas Jayhawks upsetting and shaking up the Big 12.
They've won 3 straight games against ranked opponents.
Yeah,
they're a losing team, right, which has like never happened ever.
Yeah, losing teams. So they beat BYU in BYU, Provo, Utah. They beat up on Colorado. Colorado just couldn't see the ball. Kansas had the ball for 42 minutes. 42 minutes. Green Bay yesterday, 37 minutes of time of possession against the Colorado Buffaloes. You guys are so excited.
Forks up, baby.
Oh, Arizona State.
They're coming.
What about Cal? The nerd off. Did you see that?
On the other side.
That was Warriors Future Focus, just like we love the future of the Dubs. Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future, too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today.
At Makita, good enough is never enough. It's not just about the power and runtime of the tool. It's about the power and runtime of the pro. We obsess over fit, finish, and feel. Every detail. Coatings to contours. All to create tools that won't hold you back. So you can build more. And never settle. If it's not right, don't put your name on it. Makita. Available at the Home Depot.
Stretching is the secret to better movement, and Stretch Lab was created with the sole purpose of helping people improve flexibility and range of motion so they can live with more freedom and less pain. We all know we should stretch more. Trust me. I've been discovering it, and I feel as mobile as I have in the last 20 years, pain-free, and it's the missing piece. I found out it was a missing piece to my life and my routine as I try to get back into fitness and get my endurance up. Recovery is the key to good health, and it's what we're all about at the Stretch Lab. I'm telling you, man, they got a team of certified stress flexologists, and they are simply amazing. They let me know where I'm tight at. They let me know where I'm loose at. They let me know my progress when it comes to flexing and stretching and all that good stuff there. They're highly trained and know a lot about performance and movement. And the best way to experience the magic of Stretch Lab, Try it. I'm telling you, man, it's a game changer. Feel the difference assisted stretching can make in your body. There are Stretch Lab locations all over the Bay. So go to stretchlab.com/Bay Area to find the studio closest to you.
I'm really not concerned right now about how many guys we missed today. We don't play good enough, so that's not a factor. But when you are missing some guys, you do have to be better. And when you have those penalties, when we didn't stop the run like we did, and having those three turnovers in the second half, that's how you get embarrassed.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
And Baldy was at Lambeau Field, as we heard from Shanahan, Kevin Barkar, Fox Sports. We'll talk to Baldy tomorrow at 7:30. He was there to watch that embarrassment from the 49ers. 38-10, they lose to the Green Bay Packers. Three turnovers in the second half. The Brendan Allen fumble. And the funny thing is when Fox started reporting, he started zooming in on his splint, on his non-throwing hand. And I was like, wait a minute. He's had a broken finger for 2 weeks, and he broke his finger on the first day of a practice, and nobody knows about it. Now, granted, maybe he's in the open portion of practice without a sleeve on his finger. I don't know. But the guy had a broken finger and is not throwing.
Did you hear what Kyle said after the game? We actually had him on the injury report, right? Whatever. I guess it was either the week before or whatever.
And we just didn't even.
And no one knew. No one knew.
Or he was on the injury report. Nobody cared because Brock was playing. It's like, oh, Brendan Allen's on the injury report. Great. So a lot of people were clamoring for Josh Jobs. Look, Josh Jobs is okay.
We're choosing amongst two not great options. Yeah, Can we at least acknowledge?
Josh Jobs played for Minnesota and got was benched like three games into his tenure. For Nick Mullins, for crying out loud. Or the other rookie they had. They had somebody else too last year in Minnesota. But, I mean, Brendan Allen had a broken finger. It's not the right
thing. Look, this is not going to be a very, we're not taking calls on this, but like, Brendan Allen made some bad throws, and I also thought he made some good throws. I don't think they won or lost this game because of the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
that being said, would I be surprised if Purdy couldn't go next week and they started Josh Dobbs? No, nothing would surprise me at this point.
No, it wouldn't surprise me either. To Brendan, this is why I'm not as emotional today as maybe many others. 888-957-9570. Because once Brock Purdy was ruled out Friday, it's like there's no chance they're winning this football game at Green Bay. And I didn't even think Green Bay was that good. I believe if Brock Purdy played, we get a closer game, and maybe it's coming down to the wire. Because Green Bay, yeah, they ran up the score in the game, late in the game, and they dominated the fourth quarter and whatnot. They could not put the 49ers away for the life of them. The 49ers just, hey, put us away, please. Put us away, please. Put us away. But Green Bay was, like, Jordan Love was throwing it up yesterday, making some horrendous decisions. Horrendous. He's single-handedly trying to get the Niners back into it. And that's a guy who's getting 4 years and $220 million. Good luck with that. Jordan Love is a good player, but, man, he makes so many bonehead decisions.
Well, that game could have been over at halftime when it was 17-7. He threw a perfect pass.
Perfect.
To Christian Watson, who just dropped it. I mean, that was I don't know how that guy gets open. Brady, I thought Brady was excellent yesterday, but Brady's like, you can't let him get over the top. Like, literally as they're coming out of the huddle. And then what happens? After two sick Josh Jacobs runs. Just the Niners weren't good yesterday. And, you know, your point about the backup quarterback is a good one. But to the Green Bay point of view, they did win multiple games with Malik Willis.
No doubt.
At quarterback. Now, it was against Tennessee. So, you know, if people want to take a caveat with that, Tennessee looked pretty good yesterday. I mean, on any given Sunday, yeah, anybody can win. We know that Dallas won a division game with the backup quarterback in Cooper Rush. So it can happen. But, B, I think when I look at it, and it's like, okay, it's not just Brandon Allen. It's no Trent Williams, no Nick Bosa, no Brandon Ayuk. I don't know what's going on with Debo emotionally. Clearly a compromised CMC. I mean, he's out there and he's a player, but he's nowhere near what he was last year. And then I look at no Dre Greenlaw, which is one of the things I underrated him all year long. No Charvarius Ward. And they just had no shot. No Hargrave. Forgot about him. Like, they don't have enough bodies, dude. They're not good enough. They're just not good enough.
They're not good enough.
When you miss a million tackles, you commit a million pre-snap penalties. You commit penalties on special teams.
Who's that on? Penalties, missed tackles.
It's on Jake Brendel for not, like, dog, you're the center. How are we offsides on as the center?
Offsides.
Full starting as the center?
Holdings, legal man downfield. They weren't just throwing flags. You can see like four flags at a time. It's like, damn, are they popping popcorn? Oh, wait, that's yellow flags. Oh, that's not popcorn. They're just throwing flags. Hold up. Three, four flags. Boom, 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 boom. It just mucked the game up. So you're not buttoned up. And you know what? You're going to be penalized a lot. When you have a bunch of new dudes in the lineup who don't know what the hell they're doing, maybe that's a coaching thing. Maybe they're not buttoned up. Nick Sorensen, not buttoned up. Brian Snyder, we know they haven't been buttoned up on special teams.
Sauber.
I mean, it's Sauber just
tackling the guy as Debo's flying down the line. It was going to be a 17-14 game if they find a way to punch that in.
I mean,
87 yards called back.
It was a mess. It was a mess. And maybe the downfall is here. I mean, who better to speak about that than Robin Sanbruno?
Before we go out to Rob, and I'm going to allow, I want to hear from Rob. George Kittle, again, is a guy that needs to stay on this team for the remainder of his career. Like, you're talking about, like, all these, everything's going wrong. George Kittle's out there busting his butt. Juwan Jennings is out there busting his butt. There are guys playing really, 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 really hard. And that's the part of me, like, it's not
that's what I'm saying. It's not, that's why it's not, you don't need an overhaul. You have plenty of talent here to tinker and retool for next season, but you don't need an overhaul. You don't need like 15 different players. You know, you need a couple tweaks here and there. You add something, and you'd be fine. But 405 says it's on the coaching. It's on the coaching. That's what he thinks. It's on the coaching. Well, I want to know what the roasters think. Is it on the coaching? Is it on the players? Is it on the coaching? Is it possibly on the players? 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Robin Sanbruno.
Yes, the downfall is here, as I predicted. You know what I'm saying? People called me crazy, laughed at me, but I told y'all what was going to happen. Look, man, not being disciplined, the special teams been ass all year long. You're getting all these penalties. That comes on to the coaching. If your head went in the playbook all the time, if you had offensive coordinator, you could have went out there and counted the guys. The guy you fired, Wilkes, tell Sorensen, that's his defense. Tell him to count the guys on the field. That's basic football. What about the people at the top? You know what I'm saying? Count who's on the line. So that's two times in a row he did that. So you know what? That's coaching. And then he plays favoritism. His favoritism is going to be his downfall. CMC is not a better runner this year than what Mason is doing this year. He's by far a better running back. He got more juice. It just is what it is. CMC, you missed two games. You had two messed up ankles. And you think you're going to come back and be the same guy? No, you're not that guy this year. Maybe you rest up and come back next year and you be that guy from last year. But you got two Achilles injuries. You had injuries on your knees and ankles before these two injuries. I mean, come on. I mean, like, why are we playing this guy? Mason was the lead rusher in the league. He was at least top three for the majority, for half the season, and then you don't even play him no more. Like, what is going on? And Dobbs, look, man, in preseason, Dobbs is better. Allen, we haven't seen Allen win a game in I don't know how long. He hasn't played in 3 years. He has a broken hand, and you still don't want to play Dobbs. I watched Dobbs play good against us last year. I watched Dobbs win a couple games last year. Is he great? No, but he's better than Brandon Allen. This thing that Cal got with mediocre mid quarterbacks is crazy with me. It's crazy. Like, this dude haven't done nothing in 3 or 4 years. He hasn't started a game. He has a broken hand. Dobbs started more. We got more film on Dobbs than Brandon Allen. So why is Brandon Allen playing?
I don't know. Well, why? Daniel Jones may be on. Apparently the Niners are in on Daniel Jones, Rob.
What'd I say, Vontae? I told you. He's the perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan. Mid, he got a big arm. He can run a little bit. He like the full white Trey Lance. You know what I'm saying? You can play him cheap. Watch. He just like his daddy when they went out Jake Plummer. That's who I'm with Dane. He reminded me of Jake Plummer. And I'm going to tell you this. When Daniel Jones had a good running game, which they say Saquon brought, he went to the playoffs, right?
Hey, yo.
So if you put Daniels with this, if we get this running game right, if CFC come back healthier next year, I just feel like if they go get Daniels, they are gonna try to backdoor Purdy. That's what the Shanahans do.
Hey, Rob.
Backdoor Purdy.
Rob, there's so much I want to get into. Like, I want to ask you about Trent Williams, because, look, when they made the trade for Trent, he has been a really good Niner. I'm not here to deny that. Like, he has been a really good Niner. But the whole holding out thing, it really rubbed me the wrong way, this year in particular.
Rob, said Bruno, courtesy of the River Rollins guest line.
No, like, it really rubbed me the wrong way. Him, and I get it, you're injured, I understand that. But I do get the sense at times he's got front-runner mentality. Would you feel me on that?
Of course. He OG, man, he old, man. He done made his money, man. He don't really – the drive's not there no more. That's on the 49ers. Instead of you drafting Pearsall, who can't even get open. Y'all blaming Debo. Pearsall can't even get open. Right? He's a non-smart. Draft the offensive lineman. And one more thing that I don't like that Kyle hasn't done, where's that second tight end next to Kyle?
Oh, we've been waiting on that for years. For years, Rob.
Where's that at?
If we're
going to run big personnel all the time, like when Jim Harbaugh had Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker, we could be more of a threat.
No doubt. Go-